Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm not sure how this is going to work. I've never really done this in a sermon before, but I'd like to begin with a little quiz. I'm going to offer what I believe is a common statement or a phrase, and I want you to tell me if it's from the Bible or not. Okay? How about, broad is the path to destruction, Bible or not? Bible? It is. It is. It's from Matthew chapter 7. It's actually in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is broad that leads to destruction. Money is the root of all evil, Bible or not? Who says Bible? Who says not? Nobody wants to raise their hand? Who says, okay, very good. Actually, it's not. It's probably one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. 1 Timothy says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. See, money is not evil in and of itself. But if you love money more than God, then that's going to bring much evil. How about, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all inhabitants thereof. That's go ahead. Bible or not? Bible, yes? No? Where do we see that verse? It is from the Bible. It's from Leviticus. Where do we see that verse in our American culture? Does anybody know? It's imprinted on an icon of American culture. American liberty. Hint, hint. The Liberty Bell. That's right. It's on the Liberty Bell. This too shall pass. Bible, not what? What do you think? Bible? Bible? Okay, well, it's not. While everything this side of heaven will pass away, this quote isn't found in this exact sense in the Bible. Actually, that quote is attributed to a Sufi Muslim from sometime in the Middle Ages. And I think, sadly, that's often used in a way that minimizes the suffering of another person. This too shall pass. One more. Well, two more. God helps those who help themselves. Thank you. Oh, who said? Okay, for those of you who said no, thank you. that actually isn't in the Bible either. It's actually, the first recording of it is a Greek fable by Aesop. It's also quoted in Poor Richard's Almanac. And not only is it not found in the Bible, it actually contradicts the Bible, specifically in terms of salvation. God came to us while we were dead and powerless in our sins and helped us in the greatest way possible by giving us salvation. And without his help, this side of heaven, we can't really do anything. So that one's not in the Bible. Okay, to thine own self be true. Bible, not Bible?
Yes.
It's not. Sounds like the Bible, and it's really not bad advice. Who knows where it does come from? Shakespeare, Hamlet. Shakespeare's Hamlet. Okay. Well, hope that was fun. Doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. No, I'm just kidding. There is another phrase that's often used and is thought to be in the Bible, and it's the one we're going to be kind of considering today. If you looked in your bulletin, it's actually the title of the sermon theme, but it's everything happens for a reason, and there's a question mark there on purpose. There are really numerous variations to this phrase, like it was the will of God, it was meant to be, or this was part of God's plan, it must have been their time. And this phrase is often used when? It's often used when someone has gone through a very painful experience. In fact, you may have had someone say that to you at one time or another. And I know that the person who says it means it to be comforting and helpful, but sadly, I think it often has the opposite effect. See, the problem with that statement is more in what's implied than what's actually said. The implication, particularly when a Christian uses it, is that God caused whatever you've just experienced to happen, that it was God's will to bring you the pain that you're going through. Now, I think using that logic, we would have to say that on 9/11, when over 3,000 people died in the destruction of the Twin Towers in New York, as people leapt hundreds of feet to their death to escape a raging inferno. It was all part of God's plan, all part of some divine purpose that he had. Or it was just meant to be when a two-year-old in a Walmart pulled a gun out of his mother's purse and discharged the weapon, killing his mom. Well, I guess it must have simply been her time. You can see how uncomforting that kind of thinking can be. You know, when things like that happen, we don't want to believe that they just happen. That would make the world much too dangerous and uncertain. We see this happening all throughout the book of Job. If things don't happen for a reason, this world becomes much too frightening as we're thrown this way and that way simply by chance. So, since we know there is a God, he must be pulling the strings. That's our logic. But what does that communicate about God? It seems very confusing, at least to me, that a God whose very nature is love would also bring such pain into the creation and on the very people that he claims to love. Now, I actually do believe that there is a reason for everything that happens. But I think the reason is often summed up in a statement that I read in an article the other day. It said, everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and make bad decisions. See, the problem isn't that bad things happen in our world simply by chance. The problem is that the whole world is broken by sin and therefore doesn't operate as it's supposed to. Add to that the fact that the world is inhabited by people whose sinful choices bring pain and even death, sometimes purposely and sometimes accidentally. And we shouldn't really be surprised that terrible things happen. Rather, we probably should be surprised that they don't happen more often. Now, I think the first problem with that phrase, everything happens for a reason, is that if everything, whether good or bad, happens because it's part of some grand scheme of God, then it completely removes personal responsibility. So you cheat on your spouse, and your best explanation is that, well, it was simply part of God's plan. Or you're texting and driving and cause a wreck where someone's killed, and you can say, well, I guess it was simply their time. See, not only are we free from responsibility, but what else do we do when we say things like that? Now we shift the blame onto God. If we truly believe God controls everything that happens, then what's the point in eating right or exercising? We're going to die anyway. If it's God's will that we get cancer, does that make having medical treatment to find a cure, does that mean that we're working against God's plan? It's his will that we get cancer, after all. Or if God had already planned that the Patriots would beat the Falcons last Sunday, then why did we even bother watching the game? I think there are many people who actually believe God does work that way in the Bible, in the world. That every single thing that happens is planned by him. Not only known, you know, foreknowledge does not mean predetermination. We know that he knows what's going to happen, but that he planned them to happen. And that belief most often comes out of a wrong understanding of what we call God's sovereignty. His rule over creation and over our lives. Many believe that because God has power over all things, he directly controls every intricate detail within creation, that everything that happens is predetermined by him. That's just not true. The other extreme is that God has absolutely nothing to do with his creation. God created everything to operate under certain rules and regulations and then simply stepped back to see what would happen. And as events unfold, he watches but doesn't take any action. He simply lets things happen. But neither of those views are biblical. The Bible is clear that God has a plan, that he has a plan for us. In fact, Jesus is the great proof that God had and has a plan. Unlike a distant God who simply observes, Paul says that at just the right time, God entered into our history himself, took on flesh, dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. God became intimately involved with his creation for us through Jesus Christ. as he had planned to do before the foundation of the world, walking in our shoes, healing our afflictions, forgiving our sins, and even dying our death. Jesus was God's great plan for bringing salvation to the world, for bringing salvation to you. Paul says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation from the world. That means that God knew, even before he created us, that his Son would bring us salvation through his life and death and resurrection. And his love was such that he was willing to do that even before he made us. God moved the events of history to bring that plan to fruition. And he continues to be at work in our world as we move closer to that day of Christ's return in glory and our eternal life in heaven. But the fact that God has always had a grand plan for the ultimate redemption of the world does not mean that every little or not so little thing is predetermined. It doesn't mean that the choices and the decisions we make this side of heaven have no meaning, no impact. We've heard the words of that Old Testament lesson a couple of times now this morning. Listen again to this portion of it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. See, Moses had just finished reminding the Israelites of all that God had given them in the law, all that he had done for them during their time in the wilderness. And now, in essence, Moses says, look, God has told you what's good and what's bad. He's told you the way that will lead to life and happiness, and the way that will lead to destruction. Now choose what's good. Cling to God, which is good, and you will live. If our choices had no meaning, if they were all predetermined, how could Moses set this choice before the Israelites? How could he set this choice before you and me? Sometimes things happen, good and bad, because of the choices we make. There will be times in our lives when we go through disappointment, even suffering and pain. And some of that, and I don't know, in my case, maybe most of that, is the result of poor decisions that we make. And when that happens, one of God's most comforting promises is that even in the midst of suffering, he can and will work for our good. That he forgives us. That he will never leave us. That he really can bring blessing out of pain. A woman had a 3-year-old son who was killed when he was hit by a car. Some years later, she was asked to reflect on her faith in light of that experience. And this is some of what she wrote. At the time, I had people tell me that it was your son's time. And I was having a hard time understanding, believing in a God who would plan to take my child at age 3. Since then, I've come to understand that tragedies aren't necessarily part of God's plan, that God has given us freedom to do good and to do bad, and that in a broken world, sometimes bad things happen. Understanding this helped me to turn to God instead of away from him. Since my son's death, I believe my faith has grown and continues to grow. His death changed the way I viewed God and my faith. I no longer have a naive, childish faith where God protects you from all harm and makes everything okay. I believe my faith is now deeper as it's been tested through tragedy. I know God doesn't promise me a pain-free life, but what he does promise is that he will always be there to love me and comfort me and guide me. My faith gives me something that people without faith don't have. Hope. Hope for the future, and hope in the knowledge that I will see my son again someday. As much as we want to bring order to the events of our life, as hard as it is to deal with the reality that really bad things happen to us and to others in this world, it's so important that we move away from a view that everything happens because God causes it to happen. If that's the way you think, if that's your worldview, it's just a matter of time before something happens that will break your trust, that will challenge your faith in such a way that it may not stand up under the pressure. Rather, I think we need to believe and be okay with the fact that things will happen in this world that are difficult, that are impossible at times for us to understand or make complete sense of. Sometimes things happen for a reason, but that reason isn't always God. Sometimes bad things happen because we make bad decisions. Sometimes good things happen because we make good choices. Sometimes bad things happen for which there seem no reason. Sometimes bad things even happen because we trust in God. Just look at those tens of thousands of our Christian brothers and sisters who have suffered for their faith these past few years in the Middle East. But regardless of why those things come, God promises He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will walk with us through the pain and will even ultimately use it to accomplish something good. That's His promise and our hope, a certain hope that we have in Christ. And God has given us that hope for a reason. Amen.